A member of a synagogue locally came up to me yesterday and said something along the lines of, in our synagogue, we don't believe in all these superstitious, spooky stuff about, you know, the words that you say are going to have effect on the people around, and they were, you know, just because somebody is lining from the Torah Klolos, therefore they're going to have some effect on the people around it. We don't believe in any of that, he said. What he said was that we give the aliyah to whoever the gabba chooses, whoever the kehila chooses, gets a regular aliyah, and nobody who has the aliyah cares that they got adrabba, they have a mishaberach. I don't know whether they're given a dova in those shuls, but what? Oh, you say that's in monks, right? And I say that that's not correct. In other words, what I'm saying is I think that person has misunderstood, and we learned it yesterday in the dirshu. Right, and what you can't deny that there are things called brochois and klolois. The same people in Shimon, you're saying monks, yeah? Let's say it's monks, yeah? You'll use the monks as an example, right? The same people in monks also say shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom to the people who were standing around when somebody was saying tippal aleim and mosav avachat, right? And thus state
nalocha. You're talking about Chris Atura, you're talking about naming.
One second, Charlie, we're coming to it, yeah? So therefore, they also agree, everybody agrees, you can't deny it, because that's mefurish in Torah and in Chazal, that words have effect, right? Hachaim v'amoves b'yad haloshan is a posuk, yeah? So therefore, yeah, and we believe in brochos, and we believe in klolos, etc. What we believe is, though, and that's what we learned yesterday in Mishnah Berurah and Dirshu, is that there's a posuk that says, shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovar ra, that somebody who's doing a mitzvah will not suffer as a result. So what we're saying is, there could be an adverse effect. But if you're coming up to have an aliyah, I'm having an aliyah, therefore I'm coming up as an aliyah l'Torah, then I'm protected, right? Like we say, shluchei mitzvah einan nezoikin, the people who go to do a mitzvah, einan nezoikin, etc., etc. So they're relying on that. They're saying there is such a thing. There is a danger. There is a risk. There is a problem. There could be an issue. But shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovar ra.
You're saying a bracha or a klolos on an individual might have an effect.
Yes.
But reading the Torah can't have any bad effect on you.
But clearly Chazal says yes, and I'll prove it to you. But I can only prove it tomorrow because I'm running out of time. Okay. And also, I want to say as well that shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovar ra. I'm sure there are people who are very qualified who can give a shiur on the subject. But we all know of thousands of cases and stories and histories of people who were involved in a mitzvah, and yet bad things happened. We know of people who were travelling towards to give a shiur or to do a bris milah or something like that and have car accidents. We know of shuls that were burned down, Rachmana Litzlan, during 1648, 1649 Taktat, and during the Second World War, were filled with mispallelim who were davening to the Rebbeinu Shlomo and wearing talis and tefillin. Yeah, so shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovar ra isn't a guaranteed protection. There are times when a person's oisik b'mitzvah and afal b'kein, bad things happen. So therefore, right, because of that, there are people who want to protect themselves even better by not taking this risk. What am I doing? I'm taking a risk, but shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovar ra. Maybe in my case, shomer mitzvah won't protect me. Who knows? Anyway, B'lieda will carry it on. It's a very interesting thing. I've got a very interesting story to tell you tomorrow morning, B'lieda.
Shall I announce myself?
Let me do the announcement.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is the title. Change of title.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Help me, I'm an amateur at the announcements, okay? So today is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday, okay. It's Yud Pesel.
No.
Or Yud Gimel.
Gimel.
Yud Gimel Elul on the 26th of August.
Right.
And our speaker is Rav Emanuel Danan Shlita.
Correct.
And the subject is Al Davar Asher Lo Kidmo Eshem Balechem Ova. Mayim, not as previously advertised.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, Rav Oisai. Sorry about the change, but
I wanted to do justice to a subject I couldn't. The Lois and Nachashu was quite a complicated subject, but I do hope that you'll find this share of interest. Just about what Rav Yanki was saying about Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Dovara. I don't know if any of you noticed, and Baruch Hashem is not as noticeable, but I'm missing a couple of my fingers are not fully there because many years ago, in 2002, maybe you were in yeshiva at the time, I had an accident coming down from Gateshead to London, and I hit the central reservation, and I was actually on my way to collect for the kollel and for my son and my brother's bar mitzvah, and I had Baruch Hashem, I survived, and I had excellent care in Sheffield, and I make an annual Suda Saida. But the kasha that everybody was asking was, "Mamash, your question." Here I was going to do a mitzvah, and that's what struck my people. So first of all, I said, "Well, I'm alive. I'm here to tell the story," and that's what I was saying. Like you were saying, that it's not, nothing is a guarantee, an absolute guarantee, but it means you don't need, if something normally, if it wouldn't be a Dvar Mitzvah, you'd have to err on the side of caution. That the Torah says, Shema Mitzvah Lo Yedo Dvarah. But it's not an absolute a guarantee. And also, even if there is harm, yeah, what's called Ra? It could be it's on. Being injured is better than the loss of life. So, okay. So, coming back to our subject, I want to go. This is a fascinating subject. It's just, I hope I can give you just something food for thought. And there's so much to say on this topic. But I found it absolutely fascinating. So we'll go straight to the psukim, which is in Parshas Kisei, but nevertheless, it's that's the eternity of Torah. You can always speak about any aspect of the Torah. So it says, Lo Yavo Amonim, one of the isurei the isurim of marrying one of the people. It says, so the Perek Chav Gimel it starts off with Mamzer. And Petzua Daka, and one on the list shortly towards the beginning of the parak, it says Lo Yavo Amoni Umay Avi Bikal Hashem. What does that mean? Lo Yavo Amoni Umay Avi Bikal Hashem.
Marry.
Thank you. Many people think at Rashi points out clearly it does not mean do not convert an Amoni Umay Avi. Absolutely, you can convert him. Yeah, yeah. So if an Amoni comes, he says, "I would like to be a guy." We said, "Absolutely." But by the way, you're not going to be able to marry a normal Jewish lady. Who is he going to be able to marry, Rabbi Zayn? He can marry a mamzer. He can marry another Amoin. He can marry Edoim, Edoimi or Mitzri, the first two generation. He can marry anybody who's possible, including a mamzer. Is not Kal Hashem. They're Yidden for many things, for almost all things, but they're not Kal Hashem, and they can marry them, but they cannot marry a normal Israelis. Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yavo Lahem Bi Kal Hashem Ad Olam. Even the 10th generation and further, they're forbidden. Why? Says the Torah, Al Dvar Shel Kidmo Eschem Belechem V'Mayim B'Derech V'Tzei Eschem Im Mitzrayim. Right? Because they did not come forwards to you with lechem, with food and water when you came out of Mitzrayim. Well, first of all, the interesting thing, but Derech V'tzeischem Mitzrayim? How long before that did we come out of Mitzrayim? 40 years prior to this. But we're still on a journey. Wow. We're going on a journey for 40 years, it happens to be. And that, the Torah says, there's a hashchos, or somebody who sees a whole nation exhausted, wandering around, and he does not offer them bread and water. That is something, there's something rotten to the core. There's something really wrong with such a people. And that's enough of a reason that they may not, either they can convert, but they may not marry within the Jewish, with the Israelis. That's number one. lekalelekka. And he also, on top of that, Moav hired Bilam from Psar to curse you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to listen to the curse, and he changed the curse into a bracha. Which is very interesting, by the way. You're trying to emphasize how wrong they're doing, and Agav, just by the way, I want to tell you how kind I was to you, but it's an interesting thing that you're putting it here when you're trying to emphasize the wrongdoing of Moav. Okay, so what do we see here? Moav and Ammon, did they give us food and water?
No.
Right, let's go back. Let's go to Parashas Dvorim. Parashas Dvorim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Vav, Oichel Tishburu Mi'itam Bakesev V'Achaltem, you shall buy food from Edom, Bnei Edom, V'Gam Mayim Tichur Mi'itam, and you should also buy water. That means don't think, oh, okay, we'll pay for the food, but water is a basic, there's plenty of water, there's no shortage. Know that you should also pay Bakesev U'Shisisem, right? And that's what actually happened. And later on, when they send Malachim when Moshe Rabbeinu sends messengers to Sichon, and he says to him the following, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Ebro Be'Arzecha, allow me to pass through your land. Bader Baderech Eilech, I'll stick to the main highway. I won't, Asu Yomin Usmal, I will not turn to the right or to the left. Oichel Bakesef Tashbireini, Ve'achalti, sell me food for money, and I will eat. Umayim bakesef titenli v'shosisi, and give me water so that I can drink. Rak ebra, and I will also pay for that. Rak ebra baraglai, I ask you to please allow me to pass through your land. Kasher also leave bnei Esav ayoyishvim b'seir. Well, I'm going to be the first nation that's kind, that's nice to the Jewish people. Please, we've got to follow the pattern of history. Yeah, I can't be the first one. I'll be outcasted by my... No. Your brother... Other people have done it as well. Right? Bnei Esav ayoshvim b'seir, and the Moavim ayoshvim b'ar, they also helped me. Ad asher ever, all I'm asking, Ad asher ever, it's a Yarden, because I need to cross over the Yarden to the west side of the Yarden. El ha'aretz asher Hashem elikeinu noisen lanu. So therefore, all I'm asking is just, I'm not going to settle in your land. Yeah, he's telling Sichon, I'm not going to settle in your land. I'm going on my way to Eretz Yisrael. So, please. So, two things he's asking for permission to pass and to sell him food and water, bread and water. Right. So, what does it mean, Kasha Asu Libne Esav? What's it going on? What do you say? Permit me to go through the land. Like the sons of Esav did. Did the sons of Esav give him permission to go? They said no. And he actually went out to war. He was willing to make battle. Yeah? As long as you don't go through my land. So Rashi asks this question. Kasher also libne Esav. Loi le'inyan lavar es artom. Ela le'inyan mecher oichel maim. He doesn't mean give me permission like Esav gave permission. Esav did not give permission. But it's going on, sell me food and water. That means although the Bnei Esav did not allow them to come through the land, nevertheless, they went to the borders and they sold them. It was an opportunity to make money. So they sold the Jewish people food and water. Okay? So if it's going on feeding them food and water, then we have to continue the pasuk, don't we? Who did this? Who gave us food? Who sold us food and water? Bnei Esav ayoshim b'seir v'hamayavim asher b'ar. So what's the conclusion of this? Quite straightforward. The Moavim
did sell food.
So what's going on? Right, is that a straightforward question? Right? Did the Moavim... No. If you tell me the Moavim did not give bread, yeah? But then you got the beginning of the Pasuk Shver, because it says Kasher Asu Li Esav. If it means maybe the Moavim gave us permission to go through part of their land, but it can't be because the Bnei Esav didn't. So the subject of the Pasuk must be feeding us. But then the Pasuk in Kisei says they didn't tell them, right? So the problem is, Rashi deals with the first problem, he doesn't deal with the second problem. He says, hey, how can you say kasher also li ebnei Esav? They didn't give permission. So he says it's going on the food. But he doesn't continue and say, okay, so now that we say that we're talking about the food, well, how can you say about? Okay, that's the question. So Ibn Ezra, so that's already another question. Why does Rashi not feel it necessary to deal with this very, very also just as strong as Rashi's question that he had? So the Ibn Ezra says the following. The Ibn Ezra disagrees with Rashi. He says the subject of the sentence of Posuk Chavtes is going on permission to go through the land. But the Posuk says, Kasher also libnei Esav, hayoshvim b'seir, that they did give permission. Says the Ibn Ezra, it doesn't say bnei Esav. It doesn't say Edom. What does it say? Bnei Esav, hayoshvim b'seir. So he says, really they gave permission. Seir was a big country. They were at the top. They were, Bnei Israel needed to cut a diagonal. They were, let's say Eretz Israel is here. They were at the bottom, the south of Eretz Israel, which is the northwest of Edom, of Seir. They need to cut a diagonal to get to the east side of Yarden and come round. Yeah? Bnei Seir actually allowed them to go. However, the most direct way was through the Medina of Edom. Medina is a province. The quickest way was to go through the kings where the king lived, the area where he lived. That's called a Medina, or the province. That Edom did not give permission. So therefore, that's why it says, the one who lived in Seir, not Edom. Edom and his cohorts. Sorry?
Wasn't that a little bit normal to let somebody in your country and have something off bounds?
Sorry, again.
Why is it so unusual that? Why were they punished? What was the exclusion for?
So, you can't walk through the capital.
Like
the forbidden in Tiananmen Square.
Why would that
There's the forbidden city. You can't walk into the king. This is a king's area. I can't have a whole nation coming to the king's area. Yeah, that's not okay. Yeah, and now I'm willing to fight. That way he was willing to fight. But actually, Bnei Esav, Yoshvim B'Seir, they did give. They did give permission. Okay, so we've answered that. So if the subject is gave permission, Bnei Esav and Yoshvim B'Seir, they actually gave them permission, right? And he brings a raya. He brings a couple of proofs for this. First of all, Bnei Esav ask in Parshas Chukas, Derech Hamelech Neilech. Can we walk through the Derech Hamelech? They didn't say, can we go through your land? Derech HaMelech, that could be the province. However, the Dichoy is, Derech HaMelech is also normally the highway, the main way. And the reason why it's called Derech HaMelech, because the king needs a straight, forward, open, expansive road to travel on. Right? He doesn't want any kuvim. Okay, but it says Derech HaMelech, yeah? And that could mean the Derech which is in the province of the where the king is. Yeah? The Pasuk also says, Ibn Ezra says, the Pasuk says, Atem oivrim begvul acheichem, you are about begvul acheichem bnei Esav, ayoishvim b'seir. So how would you understand that Pasuk? Atem oivrim begvul acheichem, you are passing, and again he says, bnei Esav, ayoishvim b'seir. So that I always learned that possible. You are passing next to the border. Yeah. No, Ibn Ezra says that's not a simple understanding. Bigvul, you are in the borders already. Atem oivrim, I'm informing you. If you're going next to a country and you're not even going into that country, you don't have to. But if I'm telling you, you're going into the gvul, but I want you to respect them. I don't want you to start making nechama.
Along the border,
but within the border. That's how. So atem oivrim bigvul acheichem bnei Esav. That's interesting.
In that case, it should be mutter to marry into the bnei Esav or the moavim of Or.
Just a second. Just right and right. Okay. Third proof is what does Melech Edom say? Loi sa'avor bi. Bi. What do you mean, me? In me? It's not you. You can't go through my land. Why do you say bi? Means you can't go through my kingdom. My area where my kingdom is. Yeah, that's a no-go. That tourists are not allowed in that area. Especially Jewish tourists, right? So that's why he says B, let's have a B. Okay, so we've answered, so the Ibn Ezra says he's getting on permission to pass. So what about, let's continue the post. V'amavim asher yoishvim be'ar. That what? So you can say, V'amavim asher yoishvim be'ar also gave me permission to go through their land. Yeah, the problem is that's not true. The Ma'avim did not give permission. Now, although that's not mefurish in the Torah, it's mefurish in Sefer Shoftim. Yiftach sends a message, and he said the Bnei Esav forbade me, did not give me permission to go through the land, and so too Bnei Moab also refused me to go through the land. And if you know that Bnei Yisrael had to circumvent not just Eretz Edom, but they had to go further on the east and then turn up north, because they needed to, because Moab was actually like an L on, surrounding Moab. It's Edom. So Edom was here. Moab was like an L on top, and they had to go all the way to the east and circumvent Moab as well. So on that, the answer is, Rabbi Zayn, HaMoavim, HaYoishvim, Be'ar. It doesn't say HaMoavim. Who gave us permission? HaMoavim, HaYoishvim, Be'ar. They gave us permission. All the other Moavim, they didn't allow that. They didn't allow us. But HaMoishvim, HaYoishvim, Be'ar, and Kanireh would seemingly be, R was actually on the border, so it helped them somewhat to cut the distance, but not an enormous lot, because since it was on the border, so they still had to circumvent. They would have preferred to go through the actual country itself. That the Ma'avim refused. However, the Ma'avim, Asher Yoshvim Ba'ar, they did give permission. So we've now reconciled. Right, now, Rabbi Yisai, let's go. The Torah says that, the question was, which was asked here, the Torah says that that you're not allowed to marry Adoimi, because Rashi says, ki yotza, the first two generations, because yotza becherev likrasecha, which the Chayra means, he refused me to go, he refused to give me permission. So that you could say, it's more than that, it's more than that he just refused to give me permission. He actually was willing to be aggressive. He threatened war. That's a chutzpah. Mashenkin here, the Ma'avim didn't actually threaten war. So that could be an answer to that. Secondly, Ma'avim Ayoshvim Be'ar. Oh, so this, Ayoshvim, so why are the Ma'avim also? So the Ma'avim, most of the Ma'avim didn't give permission to go through the land. And did not feed us, and did not feed us bread and water. The Ma'avim that lived in Ar, so we only have a right from our apostle according to this, that they gave permission to Klal Yisrael. We've got no, and that's all the apostle is addressing. They gave us, please give us permission to go through the land, just like Bnei Esav in Seir and Bnei Ma'av in Ar. Did Bnei Ma'av in Ar give us food and drink? No. There's no indication, because that's not the subject of this pasuk. So therefore, very good, the pasuk in Kiseitse. Yeah, that's one alternative. Or the other alternative is, Ma'avim Asher Be'ar, they are the minority. A nation is judged by the Rav. Since most of the Ma'avim refused to give us permission to go through the land, so therefore that's why their descendants are also. The only question is, on this pshat, Edom, If Edom, why does, if the majority, is what comes out from this is that Bnei Moab, with Moab, the majority of the people did not give permission. Yeah? Did not give permission and didn't give us food and drink. But Bnei Moab, who live in Ar, did give permission. So that's move on. So the minority goes after the majority. But by Edom, it sounds the opposite. Most of the Bnei Esav, Hayoshim B'Seir, were okay, were accommodating. But Edom was not. But the whole nation is judged, is determined like Edom, which is interesting. And they are also to marry, their descendants. Right, okay, so that's the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra's second pshat, and this is the preferred pshat with many of Mefarshi Rashi, is the following. Pasuk doesn't say they didn't sell you food and water. What does it say? Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim. You have a nation, you have a people who are in dire straits, who are traveling, who are exhausted, who are discombobulated, right? It's menschlich. It's a human thing to do to look after them. Even without asking for money. Or at least it's menschlich. There's something missing in your humanity if you see a whole people and you don't offer some sort of service. And we can see that today the world has taken that to an extreme manner in every way. And that itself is Ashkosa. The fact that the Jewish people came after you and offered you, okay, we'll pay you money for food and water, doesn't justify the fact that you didn't come forward. You only saw it once they came to you with a business proposal, right? And they said, listen, it's worth it for you. You said, yes, why not? Yeah? But that itself, if it wasn't for that, you were not Mekadim. You shouldn't have waited till Bnei Israel, and you didn't know that Bnei Israel were going to ask you for the food and offering you money. That itself is Ashkosa. According to that, it's the Midah, which is the emphasis, the Torah, yeah? It's the Midah, the fact that you could see a whole people and not offer them help, yeah? That itself is a very, very telling sign on what you are. And that Midah is passed on to the next generation. And in fact, so much so, look at the order of the Pasuk. It says, Loi kidmu eschem balechem v'vamayim, and then it says, Asher socha alecha, as Bilam ben Beomi psar haram naran lekalecha. Which one would you think is worse? Surely to curse the nation of Hashem is number two, because that's a decision we make mistakes in our decisions. That was wrong, absolutely wrong. But a person who can see somebody in need, a whole people in need, and you just turn a blind eye, that's not a decision. That is you. That is your core being. And the Ramban says, that's why, the Pasuk says, Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem v'mayim. First, the Ramban learns, only Amon and Moab are taken to task for not being mekadem for lechem v'mayim. Why? Because they owed HaKoras HaToiv to the descendants of Avram. Since Avram, twice. How did he save Lot twice, Rabbi Yisai?
He was captured.
He said, Avram Avinu put his life in danger and to save Lot. And the only reason why he was saved from the destruction of Sodom was opening the schus of his uncle. And everybody knew. You, HaKor HaTzatay, the fact that you didn't offer bread and water to their descendants, that itself shows there's something rotten to the core. The Ramban does not like this pshat. Let me just finish. Yeah, Ramban does not like this pshat. He disagrees with it strongly. He says you've got a nation of 3 million people. I'm expected to give them bread and water for free, To this nation, right? They're such Nebuchadnezzar. really, this nation are such nebuchs that they need me to give them free? That Ramban says, that therefore the Ramban learns that there's two things going on. That's going on. The first reason is going on Amoini. What about Moavi? Moavi is because Asher Socher Alecha. But the Ramban says the wrongdoing of Amoin again is worse than the wrongdoing of Moav. Because the Chisorin Akora Satoiv, it's the core of the Nefesh. And that's why the Torah says. That's why. Why are you mentioning Amoin before Moav?
Together, because if you said that you didn't want to be makta melechem b'mayim, it's because you couldn't afford it, and so many people. So where did you get the money for Asher Sukhal Lekmaspil Membo Ed? Because the fortune in order to hire
someone. Nice. Yeah. Okay. So, and that's so. The Mefarshim answer the Ramban's question. Yeah. So whether they had to give it free or not, maybe the Ramban's got a taina that, okay, I'm not expected to give it away for free. But as far as you were concerned, if they wouldn't have come, you would have been okay with them going on their way. That again is Ashchosa. Rabbeisa, we find a few times where somebody didn't give food and the consequences were very dire. It was a basic thing where if somebody needs food and drink and he's weak, you give him. First of all, Malki Tzedek, after the war against Lot. So they know that. They know. Nobody asked him to come with and offer Avraham Avinu a plenty of food and to give him. That's Menschlich Kleid, Malki Tzedek, right? Tzedek, that's just the right thing to do. Gideon killed the people. When Gideon went to fight the Midianim, and after the war, after the battle, they were very weary and tired. There was a people, Jewish people, who did not give them food and drink. He killed them. He killed them for not giving food and drink. And the other one, Rabbi Yisrael, in Sefer Shmuel, who almost died and his wife saved him. And the only thing this person did wrong, he didn't help. Novel, and that's his name. What did Novel do wrong? David HaMelech, when he's on the run from his father-in-law, Shaul, he says, please, give me food and water. Just look after us for a couple of days. He refused. Adovin HaMelech was going to kill him. Kill him for not giving him food and... Right, they weren't going to die. Right? He was going to kill him because that's normal. That's the fact that you can see a person in need and you turn a blind eye shows us something rotten. It's only Abigail that saved him. So we see here that it's not even a Jewish thing. It's a human thing. That when you see a people in need, you help them and you stretch out your arm. Thank you, Rabbi Isai, for listening. Have a great day. Josh, thank you.
So this should be you, not just not married.
Yeah, there is nobody that's also, apart from an esoteric medrash about Amalek. Yeah, but there's nobody that's also to convert.
Except
nobody.
Right.
None, even that Amalek.
Even Amalek.
Yeah, there's many rides. It's not. It's not. It's not.